This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com.
Well, Terry Gannon covers a variety of the tours in his duties for NBC and Golf Channel. Terry's broadcasting resume is wide-ranging, diverse. It is a pleasure to finally welcome Terry Gannon to the Augusta Golf Show for the very first time. Hello, Terry.
It's a pleasure, John. Great to be with you. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so very much for doing this. I've wanted to do this for a very long time. Thank you for finding some time.
Sure.
Most people are familiar with the fact that you played basketball at NC State for Jim Valvano and won a national championship. When you got out of school, and I don't mean to sound like your parents, I apologize, Terry, what was the plan?
Oh, God, I wish there was a plan, huh? It would have been beautiful. Now, you know what, John? I grew up the son of a coach. I was very close to Jim Valvano at NC State, and that's what I was going to do. I was actually a graduate assistant. I was an assistant coach for Jim Valvano, and I had no plan to talk for a living whatsoever, and it kind of fell in my lap. All at the same time that I was coaching on the college level, I had a chance to go play in Europe, didn't make the NBA, but I had offers to go play in Europe. And at the same time, Raycom and Jefferson Pilot came to me and said, you'd be good on TV. So I went to talk to Coach V, and he said, you're short, you're slow, you can't jump, give it up. You're not going to be Walt Frazier. So that took care of that. And he said, if you go into TV and give it a chance and don't like it or it doesn't work, I'll always hire you back. So why not take a shot? And I did, and I took every job that I could take from, back in the day, PM Magazine and the Morning Zoo and doing the sports shorts, and went and did minor league baseball, basketball, of course, and eventually one thing led to another, and here I am many years later still talking for a living.
You really did PM Magazine.
Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah.
I wasn't even a regular. I went to them. This is how I needed jobs. I said, give me a cameraman, I'll go out and shoot a piece a week, and if you don't like it, don't pay me that week. And there were a few weeks when I didn't get paid. But there were more of getting paid than not getting paid, so it worked out.
How did all the broadcasting gravitate to golf?
Well, I signed a contract with ABC to do college basketball and then a number of different things, because by then I had experience in different sports and different sides of the business. They sent me to do figure skating in Tokyo. They said, go down next Saturday and do play-by-play in college football, North Carolina against Georgia Tech. And then they said, how about golf? You'd be good in golf. And I said, sure. And of course, I grew up a fan of all sports, even though I played basketball, and would go out with my dad as he played at the Joliet, Illinois public courses every weekend with his foursome, and there might have been some money changing hands every week. And I would take my 7-iron and along the side hit balls along the way. And so I always loved golf, and I remember, you know, growing up on the couch next to him and watching the great battles, Nicklaus and Palmer and Trevino. And so certainly I said, yeah, I'd love to do golf. And started in 1997, basically the same era as Tiger, and somehow, some way, he got more pub out of it. I don't know why. Our careers haven't exactly paralleled, but I've been in it since then, and it's become a great love.
Do you play?
I do. Okay. Yeah, I play more on the road than at home. I live in L.A., and I get out here. I'm about six blocks from Wilshire Country Club, and it's a great place, but I play probably more on the road with friends and coworkers, and that's been a lot of fun, too, through the years, playing all the great British Open courses with Ian Baker Finch and Billy Kratzert and Andy North and Nick Faldo. I mean, who gets to do that, right? And you get on there and have that experience. So it's I don't play as well as I'd like to because I don't work at it. I don't practice, but I'm a five right now, and, you know, at least I can hang in there.
Yeah. We're talking with Terry Gannon from NBC and Golf Channel. You mentioned Tiger and your parallel careers. It seems like the game filled the Tiger Woods void very quickly. Has that surprised you?
The volume, the depth has surprised me. I mean, it's been filled with three and maybe four players, the big three and a half, I'll call it. Throw Ricky in there quickly. And they all are different in personality. They're different in game. They bring different things to the table. But all four, when you talk Spieth and Rory and Day and Ricky in there as well, my gosh, you can hang your hat on any of them. I mean, they are great leaders for the game of golf, and I'm not being an apologist. I got no stake in this. I'd say they're awful if they're awful. They're really good guys. I mean, you'd go to bat for them, and for that to take over that quickly with that many, it surprised me. You know what Spieth did in the last year and a half? It's just unbelievable. And back comes Jason Day, second half of last year, and Rory has the injury, but he's right there. It's you know, and I'm not giving up on Tiger coming back, but we should be realistic. We're not going to see the Tiger that we're used to coming back, but the video of him swinging the golf club certainly gives me some hope, because I didn't know. He sat with Roger Waltney and me at his event in the Bahamas in December for about an hour on camera, and really did not know, and even in commercial breaks talking to him away from the camera, did not know if he'd ever truly get a golf club back in his hands.
You spend most of the year covering the LPGA. For the golf fan who for some reason doesn't watch the women often, what are they missing?
I cover as much PGA as LPGA, but when I'm out there, first of all, if you're not paying attention at all, I mean, Lydia Ko is something special. I mean, this is a player who is dominating the women's game, but doing it in a way that Jordan Spieth does it on the guys' side, not overpowering golf courses, not making, you know, 10 birdies a round, but just knowing how to play the game and planning and taking a golf course apart bit by bit. And by the end, you look up and she's up by four shots at the end of the weekend. You know, I mean, what they do out there, there's every type. There's Lexi Thompson, who hits it a country mile, just like Bubba. I mean, I think she's the Bubba of the LPGA. But then there's the Lydia Ko side with Spieth. I think there's and it is truly, got to give Mike Wan some credit, the commissioner, because he's embraced the global aspect of the game, and so many players from Asia now, and he's taken the game over there too, and so many of the events are over there. And it, you know, you can argue it one way or another, but I think it has brought the LPGA back from a time during the economic downturn when it was struggling a bit, and now it's truly back.
Tell me about your LPGA partner, Judy Rankin.
Where do I start? I mean, one of my great friends in life, not in golf, not in sports, not in work, in life. Judy has an unbelievable ability to be genuine in every moment, right? We all put masks on in life in different situations, whether it's greeting people we don't know who come up and want to say hello or have a chat or get an autograph, or whether it's go on TV. I mean, there's a certain mask on TV just because you know there are hopefully a million or so or more people watching you. Judy has never put on a mask in her life, and I've been around her in every situation. We've gone across the globe together, and I've never once seen her be insincere. It's one of the greatest things I can say about a person, and she's like that all the time, genuine.
To kind of circle back around, did you take to broadcasting immediately? Did you like it immediately?
I did. I'll tell you, you go back to when I started in this career, I've got to give a lot of credit to Jim Valvano. I was very close to him at NC State and afterward passed away, and now for years I'm still very close to his family. But he taught me a great lesson, and it was how he lived his life and tackled his profession. the meaning of why not. Somebody's got to do it. Why not? Why not me? And he did a lot of different things that no coaches did. I mean, he went and hosted morning show on CBS every Monday morning while he was coaching. He did all the he had a company that had a sculptor and an artist, and they did the in the paddock at Churchill Downs, the sculpture of the first Kentucky Derby winner. That's his company that did that, things nobody knew. And so when opportunities came my way, I was open to them. I didn't have a grand plan and a blueprint, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I say you got to have goals and dreams, but I accepted the challenges along the way because of him. I was open to those, and broadcasting was the big challenge. And the greatest challenge for me was when I made the flip from an analyst in basketball to a play-by-play guy. And then had to come up with things to say when there's really nothing to say. There are many times when, you know, things just happen, but you've got to create the words to match the pictures. And early on, that was my biggest challenge.
Well, as I said to you at the beginning, I've always admired your work. I think you are rock solid. I think you do a great job. And I'm glad you found the time to do this. Thank you, Terry, for taking the time.
That means a lot from you, John. Thank you so much for saying that. And anytime, let's do it again.